The following Dharma talk was given by Bear Gokhan Bonnebaker at Zen Mountain Monastery. Gokhan Osho is a Dharma holder and priest in the Mountains and Rivers Order. This talk, like all of our talks, is offered freely. If you would like to make a donation or find out more about our various programs, visit us online at zmm.org. Thanks for listening.
Fusatsu is the Japanese translation of upasata, which is an ancient tradition practice started in the time of the Buddha, where the Sangha would come together twice a month. This still happens in some sanghas, Theravadan sanghas. And a member of the Sangha would recite the precepts which the Buddha taught from the very beginning, and which in his time were particularly important for the lay students, as well as the monastic rules, the Vinaya, which are much more of a set of rules, much more extensive. And as the precepts, the Vinaya, are recited, members of the Sangha who have strayed from their vows have an opportunity to speak, step forward, speak that, how they have strayed. In some cases, they're given some act of penance. In many cases, just the act of speaking, bringing forth, is their repentance. And this is a way for them to, for practitioners to bring themselves back into alignment with their vows, with how they are endeavoring to live their lives, back into accord with themselves. Fusatsu is a practice, a way to bring ourselves back into alignment. We do stray, get caught up, confused. We return to acting out of habit, fear, desire. And we can use help remembering what is most true, what is important, remembering how it is that we want to live. What is the direction of our lives? What do we want the direction of our lives to be? What do we want to be cultivating, bringing forth, giving energy to? We translate Fusatsu as a renewal of vows ceremony. And I've always wondered why the precepts are not included in Fusatsu. These most important vows that some of us have taken formally. In my mind, I just kind of consider them to be implied. Whenever we do the Gatha of Atonement, there's an opportunity to reflect. I take it as an opportunity to reflect on my practice, particularly of the precepts, to reflect on how I have strayed, maybe how I have caused harm, hurt. How can I bring myself back into alignment with my vows? Often by doing differently next time. Fusatsu is a practice of reflection and repentance. Fusatsu is sometimes translated as a repentance ceremony. Repentance means recognizing where we've gone astray and includes a resolve to change, to act differently in the future. So Fusatsu is a way to remember, to remind ourselves, to bring ourselves back into alignment with ourselves, and to give verbal, physical expression to this. Fusatsu is a way of remembering our vows, whether we have taken formal vows or not, and can help us to remember the importance of vows. Our vows can guide us, but we have to keep them alive. We have to take care of them, stay in contact with them. So Fusatsu begins with this gatha of atonement. Dada Roshi used to talk about atonement as at-one-ment. When we turn towards, when we take responsibility, there is the potential for turning karma, resolving. And so we say, all evil karma ever committed by me since of old. And evil is a strong word. I get a little caught there sometimes. Other translations that might be helpful: unskillful actions, misdeeds, harmful actions, harmful karma. We atone because we understand cause and effect. We understand that our actions do have effects, that we can cause harm, we can cause pain, we do, we have. On account of my beginningless greed, anger, and ignorance, born of my body, mouth, and thought, the harmful karma we create is the result of our greed, of our anger, our ignorance. It is from our actions, our speech, our thoughts that arise out of these confused states. A self-concerned state, a not seeing state, maybe a not paying attention, not caring state. So the Gatha of Atonement is calling our attention to this as well. This is part of this teaching practice. Part of taking responsibility, part of our reflection. How do I create? What do I create? In what mind states do I create? And we atone. Dada Roshi, in speaking about harmful karma, says, when you take responsibility for it, you make it your own. And when you make it your own, then there is something that you can do about it. If you do not take responsibility for it, you are powerless to change it. It is someone else's fault. Something else is to blame. You are the victim. Taking responsibility empowers us to free ourselves of the endless cycle of cause and effect. This radical teaching of taking responsibility. It's what makes all transformation possible, what makes practice possible. What happens when we turn towards rather than turning away? When we look here rather than turning outside? When we don't blame or put our discomfort outside? Trusting. There is a way, here. The Gatha of Atonement is a regular part of my personal liturgy. And sometimes there's something in particular that I want to take responsibility for so that it can be resolved in me. And I say this, may this be resolved in me. And sometimes it's something that's mine, and sometimes it's something that's bigger than me, but I know runs through me. May this be resolved in me. It is by taking responsibility that we can resolve, we can forgive, we can let go. And this part is important, the letting go, the forgiving. Forgiving ourselves, forgiving others. Forgiving doesn't mean to condone harmful things that have been done. It's to not carry anger, resentment. And this practice of reflection, atonement, and atonement is not meant to lead us to shame or guilt, to beating ourselves up. These are not bringing us into accord, returning to alignment. Regret may be helpful. The pain of regret can be what tells us, brings our attention to what we've done. It's a sign that we care. Atonement, at-one-ment, is a practice to bring ourselves back into alignment. Back into alignment with the direction that we choose for our lives. We recite the names of the Buddhas. The past seven Buddhas. Legendary Buddhas. From the past eon and from this fortunate eon. We live in the fortunate eon. As Roshi said earlier, we chant these names in our lineage. These enlightened beings without beginning, going back eons. And then this human being, Shakyamuni, the Buddha of our time. And we say Namu. I've always understood Namu to mean being one with. And it does. But it also means reverence, adoration, homage. And then we chant the names of the great bodhisattvas in this tradition. These beings who are manifestations of our own enlightened qualities. Namu, being one with Manjushri Bodhisattva, the embodiment of wisdom. Namu, homage to Samantabhadra Bodhisattva, embodiment of enlightened activity. Namu, adoration for Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, the great compassionate one, your great, wise, compassionate heart. Maitreya is the Buddha to come, the next Buddha, the Buddha of the future. And there will be Buddhas, great teachers, enlightening beings, after Maitreya. Endless, for eons to come. Namu, being one with, turning towards, turning into. What does it mean to become one with? Namu, being one with these qualities that are our qualities, not outside of ourselves, that may come forth when we are clear in our mind, not confused. And that we may not be fully in touch with, that may be outside of our experience. How do we learn to trust that they are our qualities, our heart, our mind? And these beautiful, wise, human qualities and aspirations are ours. to give homage to these qualities of being. Where are they? We recite the four bodhisattva vows. These vows that we recite frequently, every night here. Reminders. We can forget. We can stop hearing, chanting them so frequently. Lose touch with what they are reminding us of. What is the direction of our lives? Sentient beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Most simply for me, this has always been a reminder that I'm not alone. This great truth that we are not alone. We all suffer and want to be free of suffering, want to be happy and at ease. And we are bound up together, related. Desires are inexhaustible. I vow to put an end to them, to lessen them, to not be controlled by them, by desire or by aversion, to not let desires dictate our actions, not let our fear and aversion drive the direction of our lives. A reminder, don't forget, this is where we can go astray, where we cause suffering. Desires themselves are not bad, but don't be confused, don't get confused. Be wise, pay attention. The dharmas are boundless, I vow to master them. There is a practice, there is a path. We are offered these many ways to practice, these many places to enter. May I practice them, see for myself how they are a place to enter. The Buddha way is unattainable, I vow to attain it. Kind of our underlying vow, direction. There are five monastic vows, and the fifth is to accomplish the Buddha's way. And for me, that has always held the other vows. What is most important? And we will end Fusatsu with taking refuge in the three treasures. You'll see we don't say that we're taking refuge, but that's my understanding of this part of the Fusatsu. Taking refuge means to rely upon completely, wholeheartedly. What do we rely upon? What do we put our faith in? What do we turn to when we need help? What do we turn to when we're acting out of habit, when we're not paying attention? What do we turn to when we're confused? What is it to take refuge in the Buddha, in the Dharma, in the Sangha, to turn towards consciously, wholeheartedly? And listen as we chant. We say, being one with the Buddha, being one with, again, Namu. Namu, reverence for the Buddha. Raise the mind of enlightenment. It is not outside, it is not elsewhere. Being one with the Dharma, Namu, reverence for the teachings, wisdom that is not apart from us. Being one with the Sangha, Namu, reverence for the Sangha. May harmony pervade. Namu, being one with. It is not outside. May we remember.
Thank you for listening. To find out more about ZMM's programs, retreats, and residency, please visit us online at zmm.org.